brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, suds. It's time for more suds.
Welcome. Sorry, frog in throat. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hi.
Hey.
Hello.
How are you guys?
Good.
Right.
How are you guys out there in listening land?
Silence.
Ooh, no. I hear. Oh, wait, that's a bird.
They're a little shy.
I guess they are.
I hear some slurping.
Slurping, yes. Well, folks, this is another Sud segment where we drink beer and talk about it. Sounds easy, doesn't it? Well, maybe it is, and we've won some awards doing that, so there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Suckers.
Suckers.
Nobody talks about beer like we talk about beer.
Well, I'm one of your hosts, good old gal Juliana, and with me today at the table is good old boy Kendall.
Hello, how are y'all doing today?
Hi. Glad that you're here.
I'm glad to be here. It is always a pleasure.
You know, you can tell we haven't had any beer yet because it's still socially awkward.
Yeah, we're pretty tight.
Yes.
Loosen up a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll have to do shots before the next show.
And then this guy that's sitting next to you, like...
Who is that?
I've heard rumors that we have this guy in our group.
Everybody thought you were dead.
Good old boy Sparky.
I'm not wearing pants.
I can say that's true.
It's so happy to have you here.
It's
with
so
us.
Great to see you guys too.
It's been a while.
Reverend Mark, hello.
It is so good to be here in full pixelation.
Yes. Yes. Full pixelation.
You've gone from 8-bit to 16-bit.
And good old boy Dave.
It broke. I have to say hi because my sound broke.
Oh my God.
Oh, so you can't annoy us with something new.
You know, Bill Gates.
I don't like to think of it as annoying.
I think Bill Gates has failed you.
You're a real jerk. Hi, everyone. It's good to be here, I guess.
We're so glad you're here.
Yes. Well, today's episode is a brewery takeover. Munkle Brewing Company is a fairly new addition to what has to be one of the better craft beer scenes in the U.S., Charleston, South Carolina, for those of you that don't know.
Yeah.
So, with breweries like Edmunds O's, Holy City, and several others in the city, not to mention a little place you might have heard of called Westbrook, mm-hmm. which is like, you know, just down the road a bit, Charleston is a destination city for people who like beer, not to mention food, too. They have a really great food scene. And the weather, and the old Southern charm, and, well, lots of other things, too. Good old boy Dave, why don't you tell us a little bit about Munkle?
All right, this is from their website. Munkle Brewing Company was inspired by my uncle and best friend, Robertson Cam Donahue, the youngest son of my grandfather, the late J. Douglas Donahue. Sounds a little pretentious. Uncle Rob and I were born only 3 months apart. We grew up together. You know what his grandma and grandpa were doing. We grew up together, and I've always felt very fortunate to call him my friend, brother, and Munkle.
Oh.
Rob started brewing beer during his time at St. Gregory's Abbey, a Benedictine monastery in Three Rivers, Michigan. While exploring his various roles in the community, one of which was as the cook, early in 2005, he discovered a good amount of old brewing equipment in the basement of the kitchen building. And then stuff happened. He learned to brew, and then he taught his nephew, and then he opened a brewery. And I'm done.
God bless America.
Wow.
Amen.
I love those stories.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
No, it's actually pretty cool that, so I didn't read the part, but the abbot of the abbey. Abbey, yeah.
Who's on first?
Allowed mm-hmm. him to start home brewing while he was working there at the Abbey.
Right.
So.
You know, they say that within the, at least the Trappist order, that the single, double, triple, quadruple are set aside for certain days. So the single is everyday beer, like table beer, that the monks can have a glass of during the week. On Sundays, they can have a double. On High Holy Days, a triple, and the quadruple is set aside for the Pope or a bishop.
Interesting.
Really?
That was at least some anecdotal history I heard.
That's...
Yeah.
I mean, is the quad for the bishop or pope, or is that what you drink to get ready for the bishop or pope?
It's to recover from there.
Okay. Yes. Okay, got it.
That makes sense.
I got a lot of stories about monasteries. Okay. Ooh, don't get me started.
Kind of greased the wheels there a little bit.
Wow. Yeah. Very cool. All right. Speaking of which, Reverend Mark, why don't you give us the lineup for today?
Be glad to. So looking forward to this. The Monkle Brewing Company beers that we're going to be tasting and discussing today include these. The Gully Washer Wit, 5.2 ABV, and it's a wheat ale brewed with spices, of course. Spicy. Then the Brug City Brun.
Brug City Brun.
Yeah, Brug City Brun. Don't get me started. 6.2% ABV, and it is a Belgian-style brown. Then we have the Monk Pils at 5.1%, and the Silver Shoes Belgian-style stout at 6.1% ABV. And finishing up with the Monk Light at 3.6%, a Belgian-style table beer brewed with raspberries. And then, last but certainly not least, the Third Floor Triple 8.2% ABV, the one I'm looking forward to, the Belgian Triple.
All right.
Thank you very much.
It's not even a High Holy Day, so
it's about to be.
Every day it will be. This feels like a High Holy Day, though.
Well, thank you.
I'll see if there's some canon law to back me up on that, but just how I feel about it. But
should have brought my shofar.
I know, right? Yeah, right?
We got Sparky back, so maybe it is a high holy day.
It Aww. Is. Yes. It is. Well, good old boy Kendall, why don't you give us the suds ratings for today?
We'll be discussing and rating these beers with these suds ratings plus our signature belching sounds. Here are those ratings now. 1, that sucks. Give me anything but a vow of chastity.
Sorry.
2. Was that a Gregorian chant?
Ooh.
Wow, that actually was pretty good.
I'm kind of surprised myself. 3. Ah, what a relief. The abbot didn't find the case of beer under my bed.
Yes.
4. A body should really not make that sound after a vow of silence. And 5. Listen to that hang time. Give me another quadruple, triple, double.
Is that like a... Isn't that like a diving or ice skating thing? A quadruple, triple, double?
Axis? Yeah. Something?
Yeah.
Figure skating? Maybe?
I don't know. You probably land on your head, but...
You might.
Yeah.
You might. Especially after drinking that triple. But anyways. Well, let's get to the beer, huh? Let's start with the Gully Washer Wit.
Smells nice.
Smells like a wit.
Tastes pretty good.
Tastes pretty good.
let me just say that wit is not my favorite style of beer. I'm not a fan of wit.
Now, I have to say, and this is just my initial impression, I like it mostly, but it's more like a Belgian kind of wheat beer than a wit beer to me, because it doesn't have the taste to me of unmalted wheat. But it could be.
I'm getting a little more spiciness than I usually get out of most wits.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this wit...
I like it.
I do too, and it's clean.
Well, this wit is coming in at 5.2%. It's made with 3 different types of citrus peels, chamomile, and Indian coriander. And...
I'm not getting the chamomile.
No, not at all. Mm-hmm. I actually am not getting much citrus.
No. Mm-hmm. It,
And they put 15% oats in the grist as well.
Did you, maybe if you put an orange slice in the glass with it, I think,
it just open up.
Yeah. What if it's like Shock Top where you have to roll it back and forth to agitate it before you drink it to unlock the magic?
I agree that Shock Top is agitating.
I'm shaking mine up to see if it changes.
Wow.
Yeah, I usually get a little more like lemon notes out of a wit. And I think I'm with you, Reverend Mark. Mm-hmm. I like this beer, but it's not a true to style wit, but it's a good Belgian style beer.
It is. I think as it warms up, though, some of that chamomile might start coming out, though.
Mm-hmm. Possibly, but this is also a wit is not a beer I think usually gets better as it warms up.
Right. Well,
it's a cold drinking beer.
I'm not going to say it's going to taste better.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely clean and, you know, you definitely have the grain profile there, but yeah, I'm not really picking up a lot of the citrus or chamomile, definitely the spiciness.
And like I say, I don't see the, cloudiness typically with the unmalted wheat that you
It is very clear-ish.
Yeah, there's a slight haze to it, but
with these beers, clarity is overrated.
Do you guys get any of the extra? I guess I get some mouthfeel from the oats. There's a little bit more than you'd usually see, right?
A little soft.
Yeah, it's not as crisp as I would expect from a wit, and it's softened. I mean, the whole thing is softened. Like when I am drinking a good wit, and I feel, you know, like this is really classy. It's like it's kind of sharp and it's in the spicy notes to it, and this is just really soft.
Do wits make you feel classy?
Well, stouts make me feel classy, but that's a whole different story.
Do wits make you feel witty?
Sometimes, yes.
Yeah, that's a thing.
About four,
actually.
Well, we are going to rate the Gully Washer a 3.
What is a gully washer? Is that like a flood?
I think it's a type of storm.
Yeah.
Like a flash flood
and it just comes through.
Washing out all your gullies.
That's what happens after you drink it.
We'll be back in just a minute.
Gotta go wash out my gully.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Welcome back, everyone. So, for those of you just tuning in, hi, hello.
Sparky's back.
Sparky's back.
Sparky.
Woo-hoo, it's me.
All is good in the universe. And we are doing a brewery takeover from Munkle Brewing Company.
A monkey's uncle.
I don't know if I would say that to a monk. Well, anyways.
Not a Shaolin monk. You get punched in the face.
Ooh.
It's true. Probably not going to see that coming.
Probably not. No. So our brewery takeover is Munkle Brewing Company from Charleston, South Carolina. And the next beer that we're going to go to is their Pilsner. Mm-hmm. Called the Monk Pils, 5.1% ABV.
I took some Monk Pils once. Stuck in my throat.
It didn't.
Smells clean.
Ooh, I like that.
No sulfur.
That's not bad.
And it's got a really clean, light malt
very,
to the nose.
It really lets the hop stand out. It's got a good bitterness to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But not overly bitter, just that little punch you want from a Pilsner.
Kind of rides out right at the end.
Like a probably a Saaz.
Dave, Juliana, yep. Can I go mow your lawn right now? I feel like I should.
Do you feel the urge?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I don't know what that is.
Lawnmower beer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, Sparky figured out why we actually invited him back.
Man. All right.
We got a whole six pack just for you.
I could put away a whole six pack of this on a summer day.
I could too.
Crispy boys.
Oh, gosh, this is easy.
I'd like to have this on tap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In more than just a taster cup. Or correct. I could shotgun one of these for your pleasure right now.
Yeah, this is wow. Sorry.
Clean, crisp, just everything you want in a Pilsner.
Yeah. And it has just enough complexity. I mean, you know, with the hop aspect to it and it being a little minty, but it's not, the bittering is just enough to make you still love the malt.
Yeah. Yeah. Nicely done, Munkle.
I know. And, you know, and Pilsners, I think because they're so easy, like in terms of the malt bill, they can turn out so sideways. And we've had a few Pilsners that, not tasted like Pilsners at all. This is so good.
Well, it's nice that, you know, their thing is, you know, Munkle, like, you know, his uncle. So they're going to do some Trappist style beers or whatever. But it's nice that they're not just trying to hang their hat on that. You know, they're stepping out a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, anybody that can do a proper lager, you know, really, you know, that's God bless them for do that.
Mm-hmm. I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's hard. I mean, if you don't have the proper equipment, and even if you do, it can still go sideways.
And what your capacity is, and time is money.
Sure. You know? Yeah. Sure.
But I also feel like we're in a lager or maybe even a Pilsner kind of renaissance right now.
Oh, yeah.
Craft beer.
Mm-hmm. You know, no question.
Everybody wants to do one. And unfortunately, they don't all do them as well as us.
Back to the basics.
What's those old commercials? We do things the hard way, not the easy way or whatever. It's kind of true, actually.
Yeah. We may be number two, but we try harder.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny, like when you're young.
It tastes like number two.
You know, like you're, you know, you're, you know, you call this like a dad beer or something, mm-hmm. you know,
I'm a dad.
You are.
Yeah.
He's a dad too.
I'm a dad.
But
over.
But like, you know, like you're like, oh, you're drinking that old, you know, dad Pilsner beer. But then you get to be a little bit older and you've kind of gone through the hop bombs and the, you know, just all the big boozy beers and stuff, which are still good sometimes, but you really learn how to appreciate like simplicity and like when something is just a nice balanced mm-hmm. lager mm-hmm. beer.
Or you just throw a bunch of adjuncts in and cover that up.
Yeah.
Well, to me that there's like two different kinds of Pilsners. There's the Pilsner that's it's simple on the, it's on the near side of complexity.
Yeah.
And then there's one that's on the far side of complexity. It's simple, but it still has nuance.
There's a lot of work that goes into something looking and tasting simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think we take that for granted. Well, I mean, I think the average beer drinker really takes that for granted and doesn't realize that. I mean, and I was kind of kidding, but I mean, a lot of folks are just getting away with throwing the entire cupboard in there.
Yeah. It's like Juliana and I were talking the other day because like there are certain words you see in a lot of beers now, like imperial pastry. You know, and then, you just kind of, your eyes start to roll back in your head as soon as you see those two words, or like imperial kettle sour.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yep.
It's why.
That's why you need one of these beers to
wash it down.
To neutralize your palate.
These are the beers I've been drinking more of the last year or so.
Me too.
I just got so tired of ridiculous flavors and crazy stuff in beer, and a lot of them. Even mm-hmm. if I like it, I only want a few ounces. I can't drink a 16-ounce can.
I get you.
Man, give me a good Pilsner Helles, and I can crush a six-pack.
Yeah. Well, I think that's good for us with this Pilsner, and we are going to rate this a 4.
Nice.
Now, let's move on to the Bruges City Bruin. 6.2% Belgian style brown ale.
It's not what I was expecting.
Not at all.
Yeah, this is to me like a pub ale. You know, I mean, kind of a pub
it's
brown.
A good call. Yeah,
it's like a pub brown.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a little more English than Belgian.
I know. Yeah, it doesn't really taste like a.
There's a little something going on. I can tell they're not using, like, maybe they're using some kind of Belgian yeast or something, but it's not really, like, when you hear Brune, you think Odd Brune. That's what
right. I mean, that's yeah. what I was racing
and
for.
A little bit of acidity.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Getting none of that.
But no acidity in this.
Kind of sweet.
And this is really a mild brown at that, too.
Yeah.
Which is, it's not mean, doesn't mean it's not drinkable and good, but it,
yeah, it's not a, what I... It's a copper color.
Yep.
I'm not even getting anywhere close to any what the brown side would be on the spectrum, but it is a nice beard. Yeah, it's kind of like a, almost like an ESB or something like
it
that.
It is.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, I like it, but I think it's a little...
I don't think it's properly named. Yeah. I mean, if...
So what'd you find out, Julian?
Well, on their website, they call it a brunette. as a...
We've created a new style.
Yes, okay. New style. And
it, you know what these monks are thinking about all the time?
You're an accused of heresy on three counts. Four counts.
There comes the Spanish Inquisition.
Tell us about the brunette.
Yeah, so their brune uses a dark Belgian candy syrup made from beet sugar.
That's what I was tasting.
For a hint of sweetness.
That's interesting.
I don't get that, though.
Wow. It's not really that sweet. Mm.
And then lightly kilned malts for that toasty, fresh baked bread notes.
So I don't know, like, I can taste the candy sugar, and I don't know how to describe it other than every time I have a beer that uses that, it's got that certain kind of flavor, and I'm not smart enough to know what that is. It wasn't that funny, dude.
I'd like to have some of this. Maybe this might be. I'd be interested to have some of this with some ribs. I feel like that would be a good.
You can almost baste some ribs with this. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
know, this is any kind of a brownish ale generally goes good with grilled meats and grilled and smoked meats.
Yeah.
They do just some complimentary flavors.
You had me at grilled and smoked meats.
This is an Abbey Normal ale.
I see what you did there.
Wow.
I see what you did there.
Wow.
Abbey something.
Yeah. Wow. Well, the nice thing about their website, though, is that under their beer descriptions, they also tell you what it pairs with. So I have a feeling that they're a little foodie, you know, as well as beery.
It's my language.
And they say it pairs well with sausages, washed rind cheeses.
Hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, I can see that.
Always that one might first. Find in a...
You just got to be careful how you cut those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Made that mistake.
smoked meats, rye bread, and apple pie. Interesting.
Oh, apple pie.
Mm. All right. I'm ready to try it.
Strudel.
See?
Mit Eisen on den Topfen.
See, now I'm getting a lot of sweetness now that it's warmed up a bit and on the end. No? Am I like the only one?
No, I think there's a little bit there. Mm-hmm. It dries out, but there's a little.
Yeah, kind of in the middle.
We're all going, eh.
Sparky's playing the part of Mike today.
Yes, Sparky is playing the part of Mike. Very good.
Wait a second.
Yeah. I think this is fair.
Red Mark, what are we talking about? What are you doing?
Three.
Yes. Okay. Well, we are going to, in case you're wondering, the Brew City Brune, or Brunette as they're calling it, we are going to rate a 3.
But it doesn't mean I wouldn't want another.
Beer.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want to drink this. Like, look, I mean, I pound those pills all day long.
Yeah.
Like, it's my job. Yeah. But I would want to have this with some food. I don't see drinking a bunch of these.
Charleston might become Pilsner City, because that Edmund Zost Pilsner was one of the best.
Oh, it's legit. Too,
so.
Oh, yeah. That was a 5-star pills for sure.
Yeah.
God, I love that town. That's such a cool place just to walk
great
around.
Beer, great food. Yeah, great Charleston's food. Fun.
Yeah, great architecture. I mean, it's just, it's a very lively place.
So much history and just, God.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, they got him too. Yeah.
All right.
There are a lot of churches there.
Moving on. Let's go to the Monk Light. 3.6% Belgian table beer that's brewed with raspberries.
This would be Mike's.
Completely different.
I got that initially on the nose, and I think, Mike's like he's here and missing this because...
You know, it's funny because I took a slug of this without knowing that. And I was like, you know, I saw a light written on the side of the thing. And I was like, wait a second. What the heck is going on with this?
So, admittedly, I've been drinking a lot of seltzers lately.
No.
And this,
really?
Well, we bought a bunch for the seltzer show.
What had happened was.
Yeah, what happened was I thought it was beer in skinny cans, but it turned out it was water. It's not bad, but it tastes like
it's super thin.
Yeah. The amount of raspberry in this reminds me of one of those seltzers.
Yeah. It does.
It really does.
Yeah.
There's almost no beer taste to this.
No. There's not. There sure is a lot of raspberry though.
A lot of raspberry.
It's like raspberry water.
It really does taste like that.
And I mean, I'm just not getting some trace of grain I would expect, right? I mean,
this is almost like a second beer that they just, you know, a thin beer.
That's kind of where I was thinking.
That's how they make those.
Yeah. Well,
I think that's what it is. It's just.
Yeah, they're calling this a Belgian table beer. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
You can taste the Belgian table inside it, actually.
So you could call it like beer flavored water and not be insulted.
I guess for somebody maybe that's looking for a seltzer or looking for something light and you're at the brewery, maybe this is the way to go. I mean, everything is it's very, very light.
It's one of the lightest beers I've ever had. It's surprisingly light. I've never had a beer where there's almost zero malt beer character in it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
I would like to try this if the base beer, like if they did it without
the raspberry. That would be cool.
Because it totally overwhelms it. That's all you get.
I have to pour it in a dog bowl and let it just sit in the sun for a while.
Ouch. Wow. God. Good Lord. And he's the nice one.
I know.
Yeah. Okay. We are going to rate the Monk Light a 2.
Yeah, and you know, thinking about this, it's kind of got that, you know, to me, it's like two gimmicks in one. You've got the light beer. Oh, I'm going for that. And then also we threw in some fruit flavor. It's kind of like, oh, come on, guys.
Yeah. I think these beers have their place, though. It's kind of like what Juliana was saying. Like if you put the word light in the name of a beer, you are actively targeting people who that is part of their beer making or beer buying decision. I want something light. I just want, you know, I don't want anything heavy. And if you don't like the taste of beer, this would actually be a really good beer, you know.
But I think if they would, you know, it might be better served on tap, slightly overpressurized and very cold.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Oh,
okay. Yeah.
Sure. Maybe that's what they're doing,
and in the right setting, you know, Charleston gets hot in the summer. Hot,
it does. Good God.
And
don't know whether to breathe or drink the air.
Right. And on a day like that, this could be really refreshing.
Yeah. It could save your life.
Sure.
Yeah. And you could drink many of them and be still.
And honestly, as bad as some of the seltzers that we've had from craft breweries are, and seriously they are, I still think this is better than that. Like, I rated it as 2 as a beer, but compared to a seltzer, I would definitely take this before that.
Yeah, you know? I could definitely see that.
And I think maybe even if they tried some different fruits too, like lemon or something.
Yeah, I think citrus would work better.
A lemon lime. Mm-hmm. It's Sprite, guys.
Yeah, there you go.
and who's to say maybe they are doing something like this, you know, at the tap room. Fruitiness, you wouldn't necessarily see that with monk. I mean, like, they don't drink beers like this, right?
Not unless they're growing their fruit, you know, and it's a local thing.
Okay.
But there are some fruity monks.
Yeah.
True. True.
That's a thing.
We won't get into that.
Are there any, like, monasteries that make wine? I mean, there got to be, right?
Oh, yeah. Brandy, wine, that's a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
And also mead, I think.
Yeah. Those Viking monks, you know.
Sure.
Making their mead.
Yeah. I mean, I could, and so I guess you would have fruits added to that, so.
I'm ready to try some of that Trappist whiskey.
You it's know. Coming soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's coming soon.
It's a trap.
I almost pulled that one.
I'm sorry.
No, wow. You're good.
I'll show myself out now. It was a good run. Yeah. It's good to be back.
The yard ain't going to mow itself, buddy.
Wow. All right, let's move on to the Silver Shoes. They're Belgian-style stout, coming in at 6.1% ABV.
Wow. On the news, for sure.
I don't know what's Belgian about it.
I mean, I get a dry stout aspect to this, which is good. Yeah. I like it. I like it.
No, it's definitely a tasty.
I don't get the stout. Belgian-y.
Right.
Yeast aspect to it, but yeah, I like it.
I don't either. It's a good stout.
I mean, yeah,
it's dry. It's a little roasty. It's everything you think you're going to get in a stout.
Yeah, on the nose, like just spot on.
I would love a pint of this.
Yeah.
This
on a hot day. Yeah. I mean, I love drinking stouts on hot days. I know that's counterintuitive, but
I don't know because you know what do you think? You're the stout expert.
Well, they're using Belgian yeast, you know, and you could taste that, and that's why,
really?
Yeah, they are. Huh. They are. Well, right. I mean, you know, I'm sure that the Belgian yeast is their...
It's a little more fruity
is their house yeast.
Than a neutral American yeast or something, yeah.
Yeah. It's made with lots of brown sugar, chocolate, and roasted malts, and their house Abbey Ale yeast. Hmm. So it's not your normal stout. By any stretch, but but I like it because there is that dark fruity kind of notes coming out. You know what I mean?
I wonder, you know, like if you ferment at a, you know, like a little bit of a lower temperature, some of the Belgian characteristics might be muted. Maybe that's
you get more
it is.
Spice than fruit than ester.
Yeah, so I don't know, but I but like
I'm,
it.
Yeah, I'm not getting a much Belgian character at all. From like, what I'm looking for in this.
Yeah, like if you just said this was a stout, I'd be like, okay, this is a good stout.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you say it's a Belgian stout, and I know you said you can taste it, Juliana, I'm, you know, you're far more attuned than I am.
Well, we'll have more thoughts about this stout in just a minute. It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. Slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view. Welcome back, everyone. So,
thanks.
For those of you... Oh,
you weren't talking to me.
I'm sorry. No, I was talking to our viewers, listeners, people. You know, at the other end.
Classic. Dona Eis Requiem. I just remembered. It was the early 90s. I think it was Enigma. It was like the French rap thing on top of, the Gregorian chant. All right. And yeah, I'm officially old.
No,
I feel I'm embracing that now.
You're only as young as I tell you you are.
That's true.
And you're young. Yes.
So now I go mow the lawn? Is that how this is going
down?
Yes,
man, you get your tail out there and mow my yard.
Okay. Yes. So for those of you just tuning in, hi, welcome. We are doing a brewery takeover.
Phil, come in.
Munkle Brewing Company in Charleston, South Carolina. And what we did right before the break was start talking about their stout, otherwise known as the Silver Shoes Belgian style stout.
I wonder where the name comes from.
Silver Shoes? I don't know. It doesn't say.
Mm-mm.
Do monks have silver shoes?
Do they?
That's no, just red sparkly shoes if you're the Pope.
Red sparkly. Okay.
Do his shoes really sparkly?
You don't want to click those shoes together because no. That three stuff
happens. In all fairness to Pope There's Francis, no like he does not wear those, but the one before him did.
There's really? No place yeah. like Rome.
Yeah,
Pope. There's no place like
Pope
Rome.
Pope Frank. Pope Frank.
Exactly.
That, wow. Dave.
That's.
Can we just take a moment? Wow. Yeah, that's good. I know we shouldn't be encouraging you because it's just going to get worse.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time.
Every once in a while.
I know.
Every 12 shows, there's something funny.
It comes out.
Hey, that could be our new motto.
Right there on show. Podcast yeah. Republic. Yeah. Every 12th episode might be good.
Yeah. Might be. That's the important part.
Okay, well, as far as traditional stout goes, this isn't that.
No.
It's not, but I still would like to do a drop shot with it. I feel like if you put some Irish cream and some whiskey in there,
you'll be good to go.
I feel like that's the true test of, of a stout.
Actually, I agree with the whiskey part because this is a little bit on the sweeter side for me. Mm-hmm. So I think a little sharpness from some whiskey would be a good counterpoint.
There's only one way to find out, Dave.
There is. We're going to find out after the show.
As it's warmed up, it almost gets sweeter to me. So yeah. Less yeah.
definitely.
Right. When it was a little cooler, it kind of had that character of a dry stout.
It did.
Now I'm getting a little more almost like a milk stout.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Or even like a foreign export.
Oh, yeah. 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 Mm.
But no, I totally got the milk stout vibe, especially at the end. It just kind of comes across like I'm sure there's no lactose or anything in there, but it really kind of had that kind of flavor profile.
Which just kind of makes me like it even more.
Yeah.
You know,
well, surely they use flaked barley and, you know, the creaminess.
What do you think there, JB?
Sure. I mean, it's not, like I said, it's not a traditional stout, but I like it for what it is and knowing that they're using a Belgian yeast strain on it. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, a little off the beaten path, but I dig it. Have we had a lot of Belgian stouts? I mean,
no.
You know what I mean?
And I'm not so sure that's really traditional. So
right.
Yeah.
I mean, didn't Green Flash do a Belgian stout?
Smutty Nose did. They actually, I think it was like Zenicky or something was one of theirs back
in
the day.
There's been a few out there, but they're rare.
But I'm not sure they're true to history. I mean, you know, now history's been written, so you could say, well, now it's true to history, but in terms of tradition. Sure.
It does not fit to the Reinheitsgebot.
No, Reinheitsgebot.
Punishments. Yeah, so...
Now my daughter Olga will play the recorder.
I think Reverend Mark's having a flashback.
Or two.
What had happened was...
I was looking up a few to see if there were some others out there on Untappd, but Frame Family Brewers has a Belgian stout.
Oh, now,
I would love to taste that.
Yeah.
They make some great beers, but there's quite a few of them out there.
Okay. I've had some in the past, but usually the yeast is more pronounced. Like you get some of the funky, fruity esters going on in that.
And this one's a little, it's soft.
What? You know, the last Belgian stout we had was from Tilken.
Yeah. And that was
nothing like this.
No.
Really?
No.
They blend in some lambic and stuff. So it's
interesting.
Yeah. It's just a dark, it's kind of like a dark sour.
And I had an Aunt Esther, and she never brewed a stout like this.
But no.
I'm not even going to. You know what? No. You know what? I will.
No? Okay.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, forever, Mark, I'll give him that.
Okay. Wow. So we're.
I like it on the basis of liking it. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Even though we're kind of roughing it up a little bit.
Can we put that on a t-shirt? I like it on the basis of liking it.
That's really fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, because it's being honest rather than.
That might be a new
simplicitous.
We just adopted that right now.
Yeah. It's happening, folks.
It's like a special badge
to rating of Reverend Mark. I like it on the basis of liking it.
I feel like that should be an addition. Like, we rated it a 3, but we get a little badge of I'm liking it because
I'm liking it because I could tell at one time it was a good beer.
Back before it wasn't.
Before the accident.
Wow. Okay. Well, I don't know what else to say. So we're going to rate the Silver Shoes Belgian Style Stout a 4. And now, the piece de resistance, the third floor triple.
Oh so, my. Reverend Mark, give us a little context on a triple.
Well, you know, a triple on the Belgian far end of the high gravity spectrum is not unlike, in some respects, what you're aiming for in a classic continental pilsner. It's basically all pilsner malt with maybe a little bit of Munich.
Yeah.
So it's a very simple beer.
But it's a lot of it.
And there's a lot that you got to get right, or you can, you know, taste it right off the bat. And the whole thing about the candy sugar, that's good, but it's really an anomaly to the process, just the brewing process. Table sugar is fine to use in these.
Oh, okay.
You know, just they do.
Gotcha.
Even at the Trappist breweries. For me, though, I think it depends on your taste.
Yeah.
I prefer triples that are fermented initially at lower ambient. So we're talking like 70 degrees, 72 at the most. And then after 2 or 3 days, raise ambient up to about the mid-70s. That way, I prefer more of the spice than the fruit.
Gotcha. That's how I like for some me. Of my music. You know, low 70s, you know, early 70s was good, but the mid-70s, man.
Things changed. Man,
that's when things got real.
Yeah.
You know, a little spicier, a little fruitier, too, yeah.
Cool. So, yeah.
All right, well, what's everybody think about this dog?
Yeah, I'm not sure yet. I feel like I'm getting some of that candy sugar thing going on that you're talking about, Dave. It's like I can taste it, but I'm not sure what's going on with it.
Yeah. I'm definitely getting the booze.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's not as fruity most triples that I am generally.
And a lot of triples have a pretty firm bitterness to them too.
Yes,
and this is just very sweet. I'm not getting the bitterness I'm looking for.
Beer. Yeah.
Well, and I like them maybe call it semi dry, which also has some sweetness to
absolutely.
It. But I like them semi dry.
Yeah, they usually the ones I like dry out and are bitter.
Yeah, a little astringent as opposed to the sweeter, you know.
I mean, if I was going to compare to like one of my benchmarks is I like Carmelite.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an Abbey,
a good one.
Yeah. Know,
and that one comes in really just very and minerally. That's the word. It has a mineral aspect to it that I like. It's almost like it was brewed with a little bit of Perrier. You know, I don't know, but it just has a mineral aspect to it.
No, I know what you're talking about. And I think that, I mean, that really makes a big difference, the profile of the water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, JB?
It's sweet. Yeah. I like it, though I'm getting a weird aftertaste on it that I'm not. Mm-hmm. I think because I'm usually waiting for that hop bitterness to come at the end and I'm not getting that. It just tastes a little off to me.
Right.
But maybe for somebody that is, I'm trying to think about cuisine in Charleston and, you know, all of those like grits and like, that this would go well with the grits.
Yeah.
And a lot of seafood too.
Yeah. So I'm thinking maybe they're sort of tailoring this to the food that is out in the area and not necessarily like I'm trying to think outside the box, you know, is this true triple? Probably not. But is this Charleston triple? Maybe this really is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I
don't know, man.
I would love to have it, to be honest with you, not wanting to, you know, not be making a commitment on this. I would want to just taste it off the tap.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. That's fair.
Even though these are good, these are supposedly are really excellent being, you know, they're bottle conditioned beers. They should be. But
well, maybe
being
we
a local
should,
brewery, we need to go down there.
Maybe we should go down there or maybe
road trip.
Yeah.
We should.
I commit to that.
Sort of have something to reference, you know.
Speaking of which, okay, so in terms of this triple, we're going to rate this a 3.
Okay. Generous, in my opinion, but that's fine.
Okay.
Fine. Fine, just fine. I'm fine.
So as a, we thought that this would be kind of fun, that as a reference.
Ooh, my goodness.
That is my reference triple right
there. Yeah.
I love that one.
So.
You might want to open that over the
thing
just in case. We don't know what these crazy Trappists are going to do.
So why don't you talk about it while I'm trying to open it?
Okay, so when you think about triples, one of the reference beers is from West Mall.
Yes.
And this is that.
And then the Chimay.
Well, Chimay, yeah. St. Bernard.
Or Chimay not.
Chimay not. Dad jokes on overdrive.
Yeah.
It's okay. It was right there, though. If you didn't take it, somebody else.
There's this one side of the table that's just, you know.
We're schmaltzy. Is that the word?
Yes, exactly. Kitschy. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh.
I still like Julie's idea of heading down to Charleston, because if we drive. The best thing about driving to Charleston is the halfway point is pretty much the Sierra Nevada Brewery.
I love that place.
So let's do a road trip, and then we can hit Sierra both times.
That place is so awesome.
In and out. Yeah.
The food is just stupid good there. Yeah.
It's really good.
It is the the destination brewery.
So we stopped there. My kids go to a Jewish sleepaway camp in North Georgia, which is like in the middle of nowhere.
That's a thing?
A thing. It's amazing. Wow. Ramat Jerome, it's amazing. The kids are actually going to get to go back this year, but we usually stop in Asheville. And I remember my son ordered this ridiculous, he's the most picky human being known to mankind. And he ordered this bass dish, this incredibly complex bass dish at the Sierra Nevada thing, and it was $20-something. It wasn't the kids' meal.
Yeah.
And he won't even eat mac and cheese at my house. And he ate it all. And I was just like,
wow.
It impressed me, but also really pissed me off. Because it's just you don't eat that food when you're in my house.
You gotta up your game, Dad.
Oh my God, I'm so mad. I was impressed and angry, but I love that place.
It's a good one. But sorry to sidetrack us with a
I'm always happy to talk about
let's get back to the West Mall.
The West Mall Trappist Triple is from Browery West Mall. It's 9.5%, so it's a little bit bigger.
Mm-hmm. And this is the dryness that I like.
Yes, it is.
Head. I mean, that
great carbonation on that.
Yeah,
cloudy.
You do want even as a home brewer, I always over prime to get it more effervescent.
Yeah.
And it just, and that helps open it up on your tongue and palate and just and I'm sorry, after drinking this and going back to the other one, I would like to change my vote.
No take backs.
Oh, darn it. All right.
But that's just a thing, Munkle's been open for three, four, five years. These guys probably been making this for a little bit longer than that. So
couple of centuries. Yeah.
Well, what really chaps me is how many people, and I love it when people, make these traditional styles, but so many people, they're like, oh man, there's a new can release of Trappel or whatever, right? And then they've never actually had West Mall, that's like, have you tried
this?
Or they're like, hey, I'm gonna make a triple, but I wanna put my own spin on it.
right?
You need to know the rules a little better before you break them.
Sometimes you just wanna make the beer.
Going up against the West Mall.
This is
triple. I mean, everybody kind of is trying to do this one.
And let me just say, we did not do this to diminish Munkle.
They make
very good beers.
They do, for sure.
If you're going to make a triple, if you're going to, have a brewery called Munkle and you're going to make a triple, we want to talk about what a reference beer for a style is. And this is one of
those. This Munkle Triple almost reminds, it doesn't have the alcohol, but it's kind of got a flavors of a Golden Strong, more so than a triple.
Oh, that's a really good catch. Yeah.
That's sweet.
That's true.
Interesting.
Well, do we want to rate the West Mall?
Well, I mean,
it is.
I'm counting all the fingers. I think it's a rating.
I love the West Mall. Like I say, I like Carmelite as well, but West Mall is definitely the benchmark.
No slouch. Yeah.
But I was very happy and impressed with this flight from Munkle.
Yeah, they did a good job. All the beers are good.
They did. Well, that's going to do it for today. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
And we love your feedback, and you can reach us online at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com.
Our daily tasting notes flow out on Twitter every day at @SipSudSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be interact with the thousands of other fans on those social media platforms.
Hey, do us a favor and take the time to rate this episode.
5 stars.
If you're listening to us online, that's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, or Uncle Larry, play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. Good old boy Kendall, thanks for being here today.
It's always a pleasure, and I've enjoyed this one very much.
Please tell us about your blog.
My beautiful wife and I blog about the good news of good beer at beermakes3.com. Also, lots of current pics on Instagram.
Yay! Good old boy Sparky, thanks so much for coming back to us.
Thanks, and I'm still not wearing pants.
Oh, no!
He's comfortable. Reverend Mark, thanks for being here.
Glad to be here. Hey, hey, we're the Munkles.
He was saving that the whole time.
I know he was. Yes, yes, yes. Good old boy Dave.
Hey, check me out on Instagram @goodoldboydave.
This is good old gal Juliana. Keep on chuggling and catch you next time.
One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.